stories. You know, it was a style book. And it was very admirable.
With America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Well, Thursday certainly wasn't interesting. No, frustrating is more like the word. But the frustration was also interspersed with a degree of, outright happiness. Let me say at the outset that, yes, we ran downhill to the end of March, and we actually reached the fundraising goal. Now, you're probably tired of hearing me talk about such things as that, but you have no idea what a watermark sort of signal moment that is. The horn has never, ever, in its long and storied history, has never made its fundraising goal 3 months in a row. But now we have. That's pretty stunning. That goes to show what a lot of determined people can do when they want to make sure that a little light keeps burning. That the candle keeps flickering. And so thank you to all of you. Now, the frustrating part of yesterday was, of course, the fact that I didn't get a show out. I was running around yesterday getting much-needed repairs done to the 16-year-old rusty red pickup truck. Got back here in time to do the show, at which point the power went out. Yeah, so much for Coal Keeps the Lights On. Didn't do much of a job of it yesterday by any stretch of the imagination. So there was no show. And my apology. Which meant that because I didn't get done everything I needed to get done, I couldn't get down the hill to the seminar we were supposed to be broadcasting today, but I will be going down the mountain tomorrow morning, and that will be live beginning at 9 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So that kind of catches us up, I guess. And let me say something early on in the program. There will be no April Fool's jokes, at least not by me. April Fool's Day is one of those holidays that I mostly reject. Because so-called practical jokes, and I don't know the etymology of the phrase. So-called practical jokes almost always come at the expense of someone who is not in on the gag. It frequently involves terror, or embarrassment, or humiliation, or anger, or fear, or grief. So, no, there will be no April foolery on this program today. It is the first day of April. It really is Friday. This really is Friday on the front porch. And we really do have a boatload of stuff to go into before the weekend gets here. One more program note. I have to let you know. Well, I've told you a little bit about the that coal company from India. They're called SR, ESSARSA, BS, big A, SRSA. They are from Mumbai, India. They are run by India's answer to the Koch brothers, Shashi and Ravi Ruia. And they intend to ruin my home. Just the other day, at about 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, the house was rocked by an explosion that came from that operation. And it was quite frightening. It was so loud and so forceful that Agnes thought that there had been a car wreck outside our house. She thought someone had hit the power pole or something. It was also heard down in the Coal River Valley. Now, that is a significant expanse of distance for one explosion to sort of rock your world. So, Monday night, there is a community meeting planned. That's the 4th day of April. And I think it's still on the schedule. If it's not, I'll be here for more on Monday. If it is, I won't be. So that's the program advisory part of the evening. It may be moved simply because there's another meeting that evening having to do with Marcellus shale gas drilling. Another creeping horror on the hillbilly horizon, if you will. But all that is either in the past or in the future. And this evening, we have some nearly 3 hours of a Friday together. And I've been looking, as is my wont, doing my research all day long. I've been looking at a variety of stories, and as is often the case with me, a theme begins to emerge. Now, I don't know if that's because I'm simply insane or if it is because the theme that I'm seeing emerge is really quite valid. I guess we will put it to the test this evening and find out, won't we? What I have in mind, or what occurs to me, is that by virtue of a series of stories that I will share with you in the coming minutes, hours perhaps, we can see that the fundamental problem of the Republican Party, of conservatives and teabaggers, and birthers, and deathers, and tenthers, and fourteenthers, and all the various and sundry booger eaters of the house helmet wearing knee pad, elbow pad beclad, oatmeal dribbling right wing, has to do with their inability to separate fact from fantasy. Reality from that which is not real. Now, what do I mean? Well, let's start with something that Reverbo mentioned Wednesday evening. You know, in our conversation, Reverbo mentioned the fact that there were the dumping of various and sundry agrochemicals into the waters that lead to the Chesapeake Bay had resulted in places in the Chesapeake Bay which are commonly referred to as dead zones. Dead zones. These things are largely fertilizers, pesticides, herbicides, that, of course, in the long run, lead to a massive homicide. But the Republican Party, which is engaged probably more than any other thing short of religious fantasy, and I'd say these two are actually neck and neck, short of anything but religious fantasy, the right wing is involved, engaged, and wholly sold out on the fantasy that as long as somebody can make money, it has to be good. Whatever the thing is, if you can make money doing it, it has to be good. Unless, of course, you're someone whose business is, oh, I don't know, doing wedding planning for gay couples. That might be a rare example of a money-making opportunity that wouldn't be good. But there aren't just a whole lot of other places. Witness, for instance, the 292 to 130 vote that went down in the House of Representatives on a bill by number H.R. 872. Now, this was a triumph of Republican will. H.R. 872 will amend the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, which is called FIFRA, and the Clean Water Act, to clarify congressional intent and eliminate the requirement, pay attention, eliminate the requirement for national pollutant discharge elimination system permits. I know that's a big mouthful. For applications of pesticides approved for use under FIFRA. You got that? The Republican Party is wholly sold on the fantasy that as long as they can claim that they're saving agribusiness some money, that pollution and toxicity simply doesn't exist. That it's some sort of fantasy that we liberals, progressives, decent people have cooked up in our own pointy little overly educated secular humanist heads that has no, but really no, see, all the pollution is offset by all the money made. It's like the money, it's sort of a, I don't know, philosophical sponge for poisons. So you've got that? FIFRA, Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, requires pollutant discharge elimination system permits for the application of some pesticides and other agricultural chemicals. Well, the Republican Party has said, no, it doesn't. By the way, that vote, 292 to 130, a bunch of Democrats in there, too. Bought and paid for. That number, 292 to 130, that number is something we like to call veto-proof. Veto-proof. If it could get through the Senate the same way, and frankly the agribusiness lobby is big and powerful, it wouldn't matter if Barack Obama had a sudden fit of regard for the human rights and environmental rights and community rights of people downstream from all these toxins. It wouldn't matter. They could override it and it would become law anyway. Poison for everyone! Yay! Refill, please. So under this proposal, this past proposal, that has gotten through the House of Representatives, the Environmental Protection Agency, which, curiously enough, is charged with protecting the environment, that, you know, they were so serious about it, they actually put it in its name. Will be barred. Barred. from applying the Clean Water Act to agribusinesses that use these incredibly dangerous poisons. Some of these poisons: atrazine, metolachlor. Jesus, that sounds like a character out of Harry Potter. Cyanazine, alachlor, acetachlor, metribuzin, bentazon, trifluralin. And they are used by the millions of hundreds of millions of pounds every year. They are linked to cancer. They are linked to birth defects. You know, baby's arm growing out of the head, flipper baby, that kind of stuff. Not trying to be... No, trying to create an image in your head of what this stuff means. Cancer, birth defects, neurological disorders, like when a perfectly healthy 15-year-old boy will begin to shake uncontrollably and big lumps come out on him. And the same thing happens to your daughter. Because they are called neurotoxins for a reason. But because the Republican Party is thoroughly bought in, total stakeholder in the fantasy racket that as long as it makes it easier for somebody to make money, then the poison doesn't matter. Those poisons stand a good chance of winding up not only in your world, but in you, and in your spouse, and in your children, and in your nieces, and your nephews, and your cousins, and your aunties, and your uncles, and your grandparents, if they're still alive, and in your grandchildren, if they come into being or are already here, they will be there. Why, look, little Johnny has acetachlor, and metribuzin, and bentazon, and trifluralin, and atrazine, and metolachlor, and cyanazine, and alachlor in his system. Why can't Johnny learn? Well, Johnny can't learn because the Republican Party is deeply invested in a fantasy that says Johnny doesn't need to if it means it's easier for their owners, for these Republicans are, and after all, slaves to their owners. Johnny doesn't need to learn if it means some Republican can get a little bit richer. And you'll pardon me if I say outright that makes me extremely angry. I'm disinclined to shout and scream because I worry sometimes that when I do have my little hissy fits on air, that gives people a reason not to listen. That it gives people a reason not to pay attention. Oh, there goes Bob. He's just all lost in his emotions. No. When those moments do come over me, it's because I can't keep it back anymore. But maybe what we badly need is just a sober sides expression of what these filthy, vile, repulsive, excrescent, pathetic excuses for similitudes of members of the human race are doing to the rest of us. Oh, by the way, perhaps the Republican response is, well, why not? Ain't like it's going to make anything better. or worse. Because as we speak, at this moment, all those poisons, atrazine, metolachlor, cyanazine, alachlor, acetachlor, metribuzin, bentazon, trifluralin, getting better at that one, every one of those can be found in practically every stream in the United States. Every stream. Let that sink in. Every stream. There is not one drop of clean water left in the United States of America. Ruminate on that. Not one drop of clean water left in the United States of America. What does that bode for the human habitation of the continent? Because, you see, these right-wing fantasists like to pretend that I, as a tree-hugger, or an environmentalist, wacko, they also like to fantasize that my concern, and yours, is about some butterfly, or midge, or bat, or beetle, or lizard. When in fact, the ultimate question is, how much longer can we allow these predatory bastards to get away with this and expect to be able to have another generation, another 5 generations, 10? I think at this point, 10 generations more on this continent is a damned dream, not a reflection of reality. What was, little more than 500 years ago, practically an Eden on this planet, in those short 500 years of occupation by mostly white Western European people, has become a cesspit. A cesspit in which the Republican Party insists that we all kick off our shoes and go wading in. And go, not wading, living in. Because they have a fantasy, an absolute disconnect with reality, that suggests that it doesn't matter how many people they poison, as long as somebody gets a little bit richer. Or, in the case of a handful of so-called Americans, a lot richer. But that's not the only fantasy. There are other fantasies as well. The Repiglican Party has taken recent steps because of their engagement with fantasy to make sure that the next time you get on an aircraft, your pilot may be suffering from sleep deprivation. How I wish I was lying to you. But it is quite real. Captain Sully Sullenberger, the hero of the Hudson, has spoken out bravely and clearly about this. But today, somewhere around 3 p.m., or maybe a little before. The Republican majority of the House of Representatives passed an amendment that was attached to the Republican-drafted aviation bill. You know, I got to tell you, Agnes is no fan of flying, and she happens to be in the studio right now, and I'm going to wait for her to leave before I tell you the rest of the story, or I will never, by God, never get her on another aircraft.
I don't think he's going to get me on another aircraft anyway. When they tell you it takes 2 hours to fix a latrine, you know.
Lavatory, dear, lavatory.
Oh, okay. In your world, it's a lavatory.
Well,
in my world,
two.
It's a latrine, so, you know. But, no, I don't want to fly anymore because I can fix a potty in 15 minutes. If it takes 2 hours on a plane, somebody's going down.
It's just a little more complicated there.
Good luck with that, Bob.
Yeah.
Thank you, darling. So, it was an amendment offered by another Republican to a Republican aviation bill. And what was the purpose of this amendment? Why, it was to eliminate the sleep rules for pilots. It says pilots have to have a certain amount of sleep in between flights or else they simply cannot fly. That the corporations running the airlines cannot simply work the pilots unto the point of absolute, complete, and total exhaustion. I ran up against this rule, and it was a little bit frustrating for me, May of last year. You may recall the story. I was supposed to go out and participate in a panel at a conference in Utah about American rivers. And I was supposed to talk about mountaintop removal and its effects on our waterways. Well, I was supposed to leave Charleston, West Virginia on a Delta flight bound for Atlanta, Georgia at 6 o'clock in the morning. Having gotten up at 3:30 or something insane like that, I found myself with an email saying that my flight to Atlanta from Charleston would not leave until 7, because, and then I later found out that it was because the pilot had been driven to the extent of his legal ability to operate aircraft and was mandated to get some sleep. This, in turn, meant that instead of going from Charleston to Atlanta and Atlanta to Salt Lake City, Utah, I went from Charleston to Atlanta to New York City, and instead of arriving in Salt Lake City, Utah at 1 p.m., I arrived there instead at 1 a.m. the following day. Feeling none the better. I must say I was frustrated. But the alternative, to be flown from Charleston to Atlanta by a guy who was still rubbing the sleep out of his eyes and wasn't sure of his port, wasn't quite sure yet of his port from his starboard, and who, since he works for Delta, is probably making about the same kind of money as the assistant manager at your local Taco Bell. Well, you know what? I got to Utah. I got back. I'm alive. I'm grateful. But the fantasy-invested Republican Party doesn't think like I do. They can't make those nuanced value judgments like you and I do. All they can see is that the corporation is somehow being deprived of profit by some layabout pilot who wants to sleep his life away. And hence, those rules are gone. if this thing passes the Congress. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what any of the flying public thinks. The pig-licking horse has the bit in its teeth and is going hell-bent and hell-bound for leather. And it's not like that this particular airline thing is somehow theoretical. We have already seen what happens when pilots are too exhausted to fly. That's why Continental Flight 3407 flew into the earth, into a neighborhood in February 2009, a suburb of Buffalo, New York, where all 49 people on board and one person on the ground were killed. One of the primary causes of the crash was something that is scientifically referred to as pilot fatigue. The company had worn the pilot out. The co-pilot had taken a cross-country overnight flight the day before the crash. The co-pilot only slept a little bit in an airline lounge before she had to get aboard 3407 and, well, she has an eternal rest. You know that little black box that's on the airplane? The cockpit voice recorder? The cockpit voice recorder of Continental Flight 3407, operated by Colgan Air. The cockpit voice recorder captured audible yawns by both pilot and co-pilot. But that doesn't matter to Representative Bill Schuster, Repiglickin of Pennsylvania, or any of his other Repiglickin pals. And the amendment passed today. It passed. Because the Republican Party is divorced entirely both from reality and from anything resembling the remotest give a damn about you, about me, our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues, or anyone else except the people reaping the profits from the airline. That reality thing's a real problem for them, isn't it? But you see, reality is a problem. It absolutely is. When everything that you want to do is not remotely related to it, when everything you do is so-called faith-based, or desire-based, or wish-based. I just wish we could make some more money. And another plane corkscrews into the ground. And another three-eyed, two-headed fish rises to the surface. Because of the ceaseless, merciless desire for profit. Ron and Raleigh, sleep? We don't need no stinking sleep. These pilots are just glorified bus drivers, aren't they? The only difference is that these buses have wings. How much do you want to bet they will next eliminate the black box requirement? Yeah, you know what? You won't hear them yawning if the black box ain't there. You know, those things cost money. By God, those black boxes cut into the bottom line and could easily affect shareholder share values by at least 1/1,000,000th of a penny. And I got to tell you, them 1/1,000,000ths, they add up. They truly do. Just talk to my accountant. Jim with a question regarding the poisons, the aquatic poisons bill in the House. No, it has not passed the Senate. It is veto-proof in the House, Jim. It has a veto-proof majority in the House. That means there are Republicans and Democrats who are each signed on to it, vociferously in favor of not enforcing or of not letting the EPA do its job. What do you think the chances are that there are Democrats just like that in the Senate? Well, here, I can tell you about two of them. Their names are Manchin and Rockefeller. And if it involves putting the screws to the Environmental Protection Agency, Manchin and Rockefeller cannot move fast enough. Jim says a Delta pilot salary is $104,250 per annum. Not on runs from Charleston to Atlanta, it's not. That was a big stink a few years back when Delta got caught paying its pilots.
Thank you. Thank you.
Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you. Thank you.
Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.